You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I am saying that Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Training camp. A tradition unlike any other. Where we watch football players practice and analyze it to death. What should you be watching for? What are the most important battles to keep an eye on? Welcome into Almost Entirely Training Camp. Pew pew pew!
Training camp starts now. It started. It started today. The full swing of things are still en route. But there are at least enough things at this point to discuss as
the battles to keep an eye on. The primer. What you need to be prepared for.
Honestly, I think it's a little bit weird that we're all in this. And also, actually, larger theory. Hey, cut the music. You know, larger theory. I actually think that this year is the least interested I've been in training camp, maybe, as a Chiefs fan. Because I don't really think there's anything that Patrick Mahomes can do in camp this year that can really change my expectations of him as far as the actual season. And I really just want to see all of these guys playing actual football games. So I'm not really sure if this year's camp feels like it means as much as years past may have, because most of the guys at the top of the team have like sort of proven themselves as much as they possibly could within a camp or practice setting. But never mind, camp day!
Don't even bother what I just said. Don't even listen to me. Does the autumn wind? Is a radar.
I don't know any more of that. But I know it starts with that, I think. I think it starts with, well, hold on. The word boisterously is in there, I think. The autumn wind is
a, oh, the autumn wind is a pirate.
I think the phrase swaggering boisterously is the thing. Is this whole thing a Raiders poem? That makes this a little weirder.
The autumn wind is a pirate's blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
So, if we accept that all of this is kind of a superhero movie, where it's like all kind of, it's all kind of meaningless, and the stuff that actually matters on whatever level you think that football matters on a, you know, real life scale. So for me, it's, you know, the most important possible thing. If we accept that this is very much like the loose outline of what is eventually going to be a football team, the training camp is fun. I don't know if it matters. I think it's a little silly, but it is obviously fun. Especially because you've been starved forever. Like, if you haven't eaten in 6 months, and then your hand, well, you're dead. But if you hadn't had anything other than heads of lettuce for 6 months, and then somebody throws you a McDonald's burger from, like, I don't know, the top of a house, it's probably going to be a delicious McDonald's burger. I feel like we're eating McDonald's with training camp talk, but we've been eating baseball for the last several months, so this is delicious.
And we're pretty sure we've got some kind of terminal disease from watching baseball for as long
eating
as we
baseball.
Have.
Eating yeah, baseball.
Eating baseball. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true. We ate baseball, and then, like, Noah Syndergaard got hand, foot, and mouth disease. Which I still don't know what that is.
I think. I heard something about it. It was, like, a kid's disease or something?
The only, like, kids can contract it or give it. Yeah, I don't. And he had been, like, at a charity event, like, with kids. Like a little league. Like, he got a disease from charity.
I think I saw a video of him walking onto the team plane in a hazmat suit today.
I think that was a joke.
Yes, I know, but still, it was funny.
Oh, it's a rash on your hands, feet, and mouth. That sounds terrible. Why is it just those three places?
Do you want it to go more places?
No, but I would have expected it to, right?
Training camp.
So there are a handful of things that are going to be interesting, but the actual news is that the Chiefs are apparently interested in cornerback Bashaud Breeland and, cornerback, right? Okay, good. And wide receiver Eli Rogers. I felt like I might have flipped those for some reason. And both of these really interested me because I've actually talked about Breeland. We can lower the music a little bit until we get back to training camp. I actually care about these two things. And whenever we get back to training camp talk, we'll bring the music back. I've been talking about Bashaud Breeland for a little while. I know I've talked about it on this show and over on Chief Concerns and everywhere. I think it makes a lot of sense for this team. Because not only do they need some depth in their cornerback situation, they need a guy with a little bit of a higher ceiling also. And Breeland has that. I think I'd take him in a vacuum over David Amerson. And if you can have them both, then your odds of one of those guys working figures to go up. Your odds figure to go up at that point. You get a few more scratch tickets, and you hopefully increase your likelihood of... Is Charlie gesturing at me with a poster?
It's a banner for you to take to training camp tomorrow.
Awesome. Just throw it at me. Just come in here and just hit me with it. No, I mean, don't do it through the glass. That feels like a big mess.
That would break the glass. That would be bad.
Can I hit beards with it?
Oh, absolutely. It's not quite loud and hard enough to hear on the microphone.
That's also because I haven't turned the microphone on.
Go ahead and hit him harder.
Ow.
So we've talked about Breeland several times because I think he makes a lot of sense on all those levels. Eli Rogers is fascinating because he got hurt in the playoffs with the Steelers last year. And he was just sort of forgotten because of his injury. He's apparently recovering really well. And my first thought whenever I saw the tweet that the Chiefs were interested in Rogers, I was like, oh, that's good. But the Chiefs need another, like, maybe speedy guy they could have in the system. And maybe, I don't know, maybe he can develop into a number three, maybe. Best case scenario, number two receiver. That'd be, wait a second, the Chiefs don't need that anymore. They have all of those guys. They have Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and the running backs. My next thought, my third thought in this was, go get him anyway. Because then you're just doing that like Warriors thing where you keep adding at positions that people don't think you need. And then you just continue to crush them. And if you think that Eli Rogers is an upgrade over Chris Conley and DeMarcus Robinson, or if he does something that those guys don't do, then just go get him. I love that. I love that attitude. Instead of the 2012 Chiefs, ooh, actually, can I get some music, Beards? Perfect. 2012 Chiefs stats. Just to make sure that I've got this exactly where I want to. I feel pretty good about this. So let's say modern day Eli Rogers dropped in on the 2012 Chiefs. Let's go sort by receiving yards. Dwayne Bowe was the number one receiver on that team. The number two receiver on that team was Tony Moiaki. Followed by Dexter McCluster, Jonathan Baldwin, Jamal Charles, Sean Drone, Terrence Copper, Steve Breston, and Bo was the only one of those guys to have more than 500 yards in a season.
That sounds bad.
In a season.
You know what that sounds like?
I feel like you're about to do something.
It sounds like a...
Chief Concern.
That was unnecessary. What is this, a crossover episode? Have you watched BoJack Horseman?
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
Not all of it, but some of it.
Did you ever seen enough of it to get my joke that I just made about a crossover episode?
I've seen that meme before, yes.
Okay. Fine. Tony Moiaki, Dexter McCluster, Jonathan Baldwin, receivers 3, 4, and 5 on that team. None of them cracking 500. I still have that mentality about like, oh yeah, go get him. Go get Eli Rogers, maybe he'll be your number two receiver. We got to pivot, man. Just keep stacking. I love that as an idea. All right, now we can talk about camp battles. Turn it up. Shoot it into my veins. All right, turn it back down. That's better. So where are the battles worth keeping an eye on, right? This is the question now that everyone asks. This is the thing that people care about. The predictions before we see them. Running backs. I have a prediction. I have a prediction about running backs. Spencer Ware, early report, is that his health is coming along nicely. They're bringing him along slow. But if Spencer Ware is healthy, and I think he will be, simply because I've chosen to believe that, he's the second best running back on this team. I like him more than Jarkendrick West. I like him more than anyone on this roster except for Kareem Hunt as a running back. So I think Spencer Ware is making this roster. But the third guy is interesting, and the guy that we keep talking about here is Darrell Williams. The guy who was behind Leonard Fournette and Darius Geis at LSU. That guy who couldn't get on the field because the two guys ahead of him were both NFL caliber running backs playing against children. Not that the SEC is children, but it looked that way. Men among boys. I love the idea. Also, especially if you are getting... if you are getting number one and number two running back production from Kareem Hunt and Spencer Ware, your third running back has a very specific and relatively specialized role on this team. He can be cheap. He should be cheap. He should be young. He should be able to play special teams. He should be a little bit different than these other guys. So I'm going to keep an extremely close eye, obviously, on Spencer Ware, but also on Darrell Williams. The Chiefs also have two other Williamses, Damian Williams and Kerwin Williams. I think Kerwin Williams at this point might be my next best guess. Because the Chiefs could save about $1 million by cutting Charkandrick West. And so I think at this point, I would take the Williamses over the field as far as that third running back for sure. Although I guess West has a case to make as the number two guy. And I think he is a perfectly good running back. Having Hunt, Ware, and West is a nice backfield. But it seems like at this point, the Chiefs want to get a little bit younger at that position. Back behind Kareem Hunt. So keep an eye on that. That's where I'm leaning right now as far as the running backs go. Also, we talked a little bit briefly here or there. We've talked about the third quarterback position, Chase Litton versus Matt McGloin. I know this doesn't matter right now. It'll probably never matter, and this is all meaningless. It's training camp. But I hope Litton makes the team, because I think Andy Reid would like to have a guy who can be developmental behind his locked-in surefire number one and number two. By the way, if the Chiefs do go and sign Eli Rogers, it's going to push them to the point of having a super predictable group of wide receivers here, because eventually you just run out of roster spots. Watkins and Hill are making the team, obviously. Chris Conley, I don't know. I'm curious about Chris Conley's contract, actually. Hold, please. Well, no, don't hold the music, because then it's silent, and that's worse. And by hold, I just sort of meant, like, hold on while the internet loads. Because I have, like, a bookmark. I don't have to Google this or anything.
The internet is being especially not fun today.
It's been terrible. The Chiefs could save $2 million by releasing Chris Conley for very little cap money. Interesting indeed. Also, Jeremy Maclin's supposed to be on this team still. They're paying Jeremy Maclin $5 million this year. Feels like a pretty good gig. So maybe Conley's got a little bit of a question mark. Obviously, Hill and Watkins are on the team, but we'll go ahead and say Conley makes it also. DeMarcus Robinson is a very good football player. I think he'll be here. And DeAnthony Thomas is like a special teams darling who took less money to stay in Kansas City. But then you're looking at five receivers already locked in. If you go sign Eli Rogers, he's your sixth, and that's probably the whole list. So, guys we've heard of, Marcus Kemp, Garrett Dieter, J.U. Chesson, those guys are not making the team. None of them. And again, we bought into Marcus Kemp as far as, like, training camp darling. Garrett Dieter actually made it. Actually made the team. J.U. Chesson was a draft pick not very long ago. I think that's all fascinating. I also just realized something about all these numbers on ourlads.com. They have these depth charts that are great. But it shows where they came from, where they played last, and if they're on this team for the first time, then it has the year they were drafted slash the round they were drafted in. Or for, like, Chris, well, no, so Chris Jones is 16-2, second round pick in 2016. But for David Amerson, well, that doesn't seem right. Maybe I have actually lost this. Maybe I've lost the plot on this one. Damian Williams says U/MIA because he came from Miami, as I believe an unrestricted free agent. Where on earth is it going with this? Oh, yeah, the receiver group here is stacked at this point. It's crazy. And so as far as other, like, camp battles to watch go, like, that, I don't care about that last receiver spot. I don't care if it's J.U. Chesson or Garrett Dieter. That doesn't really do much for me either way. Seeing who gets the snaps, when and where, at the guard position is really interesting. Because Parker Anger is the favorite. They just drafted Khalil McKenzie. The options, though, actually go, like, way deeper than that. And there are just a whole bunch of names. Even guys like Ryan Hunter is kind of interesting. Brian Witzman has a very good chance to end up being that starting guard again also. So between Witzman and Anger, McKenzie's not ready yet. But Witzman and Anger, and then a guy like Ryan Hunter, kind of interesting. It'll be interesting just to see where those guys are getting snaps, especially this time next week, as things start to shift a little bit. I had somebody earlier today ask about the rookies, what to expect from each of them. There's the amazingly named D-liner, who is a defensive lineman, who I just love. He might be in this rotation on this defensive line. I didn't realize exactly how shallow these edge spots got. It's Chris Jones and Alan Bailey, and then behind them it's D-liner and Jarvis Jenkins and Stephon Charles and T.Y. McGill. There are spots to be won in there. And up the middle, not so much, because Xavier Williams was a free agent signing, and then Derek Nnadi was a draft pick. The Chiefs traded up to go get Derek Nnadi. Those guys are going to just stuff everything in the middle. At least that's the goal. That was the intent. That's why all of those guys got signed. Both of those guys, I guess. Just the two. I don't know if any of those guys, other than Chris Jones, can get after the passer, though. And I find that really interesting. And this is another conversation that we're going to be having in week 3 and 4. And not before the first day of live hitting at training camp. I still swear this is the Batman song. Is this not the Batman song or Pink Panther?
I still say it's more of like an old James Bond song.
I think this is an Adam West Batman. He's running around with a bomb over his head, just carrying it. Shark repellent spray or something like that. So distracting. It certainly doesn't look like NFL Films music. I never would have guessed NFL Films music. Maybe old-timey spy, definitely Batman, maybe Pink Panther, definitely like some sort of animated cartoon if it's not any of those. Annoyed. It's too distracting.
Do you want me to change it?
No. I'm a little bit worried about the defensive line getting any pressure, though. Because Chris Jones is an extremely good football player, but whenever he gets a ton of attention, he has a hard time beating a double team to get to the passer. And so at that point, it's not really his job. If you demand a double team, you've probably done your job pretty well. But I'm a little worried about Alan Bailey. I don't feel like we've seen him be fully healthy in a while, and I don't know if that comes back or not. And Xavier Williams and Derek Nnadi are both very good run stuffers. The question is that all? Can they do more than that? I don't know. Which is something they'll be working on, but I think the reason they drafted both of those guys, or they drafted Nnadi and went and signed Williams, is so that they can have a little bit of meat in the middle of this defense and try to slow down the leaky faucet that was this run defense. The inside linebackers are locked in. It's Anthony Hitchens and Reggie Ragland. That's a huge free agent signing and a pretty big trade. Ukeme Oligwe is the backup to those guys. That's probably it. Because also Dorian O'Daniel can play in there in a pinch. I don't think he will very often, but he can be in there. We've talked about the corner spots. I hope they go get Bashaud Breeland. I hope the Raiders don't. That's a risk I would happily take. It just gets to Keith Reeser really quickly. It gets to Keith Reeser and Will Redmond a little too quickly for my tastes. Even if I'm optimistic about Steven Nelson and Tre'Mon Smith, I don't like how this depth chart fills out very well.
Yes, this is NFL film music.
The safeties are also kind of interesting. I actually was wondering this earlier, I forgot to look it up. Eric Reed still doesn't have a job, right? This is not the second most high-profile kneeler back in the day. Unemployed. It's probably because of his play. There are probably no other factors at play here. Boom, 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 boom. So I wouldn't mind a little bit of an addressing of any of that, but it's mostly filling out the roster with young guys in that region at this point, which I guess I'm okay with. If Eric Berry stays healthy, then it's okay. It's also like the interesting way they've built around it, where like Armani Watts and Dorian O'Daniel are both really interesting guys who can play that position in extremely different ways. So depending on how they expect offenses to come at them, they might be good. Also, there are some interesting names among the cornerbacks to keep an eye on. Anyone who really separates himself will be worth talking about. But Ashton Lampkin, it keeps getting brought up in conversation. Arian Springs, the rookie, is really interesting to me also. He's just a free agent, an undrafted free agent. I'm not as thrilled by Keith Reeser and Will Redmond, though apparently Brett Veach is. And I mentioned the pass rush, and this also gets to a lot of these rookies, honestly, I feel like have a chance to make a bit of an impact. But Breeland Speaks and seeing the way that he is using this defense is going to be fascinating. Because I'm guessing that he's a better edge setter right now than Dee Ford has ever been. Got to be a better run stuffer on some level than Dee Ford has ever been. This is the last year of Dee Ford in Kansas City, I'm certain. But it would be pretty interesting to see Dee Ford basically relegated to being a obvious passing down only pass rusher, while Breeland Speaks becomes the more like well-rounded guy. But that is the goal, obviously. They want Speaks to be able to take over. So Houston's going to be on the field constantly. I think Passanio is still probably getting pretty well molded still, which isn't great. But he was a second-round pick last year. Like, I would like for him to be playing on some level. But maybe he comes in for the snaps or Houston's gone, which hopefully isn't very many this year. And then Dee Ford and Breeland Speaks, I would like to think, are sharing a much wider variety of snaps. Maybe it's 60-40, 70-30, 50-50, I don't know. But that's something that is going to be really interesting also, where you can see a little bit of how these guys are used in training camp. That can be something that you get from a very serious training camp talk. Also, guys will, like, say things. And hopefully you find something interesting. Maybe you find out that Garrett Dieter, who may not be long for this world, is great at Fortnite, which is the thing that we apparently do know. Or at least he plays a lot of Fortnite. So there. There's a whole bunch of things that you should know about training camp. Also, maybe most excitingly, I think it officially marks the end of baseball season. Also, Harrison Butker. Am I right? That was my special teams breakdown. That's all I had. This concludes today's training camp preview. Beautiful.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.